Yeah, let's begin. I think we spoke, we were in the middle of, we were about to start talking about Nedarim, as I recall. Okay, so the context, it's a little bit agav, just we'll speak about it a little bit and then we'll get back to more main topics. Ah, okay, welcome.
All right, one more time, 1432, for anyone who seems to be confused.
1432.
Yes.
Is that some special year?
It's
60 years before
Columbus. Most of the neighborhood.
And 60 years before Columbus came to America?
Which is probably why they didn't do it, because that would be too easy.
All right, I guess that'll work. Okay. So we were discussing the Gemara here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph and Beis Amud Beis. I want to finish with this. Agav, the Gemara brings up a couple of interesting topics. Again, the Mishnah says Hakol Shochtin, and then it says Shchitasan Ksheir. And we'll get back to this, we're going to expand on this in a minute. But the Gemara points out, just to review just for a minute, the Gemara says Hakol Shochtin Lechatchila, who Shchitasan Ksheir is Bidyeved. So, obviously, that poses a question. You know, which do we mean? Do we mean l'chatchil or do we mean b'diavet? So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravacha b'reinu Rava l'Ravashi b'kol ha'kol l'chatchila." Meaning, this is only a question if you accept the assumption, and that is that the word hakol means l'chatchil. If you challenge the linguistic assumption, then there might not be a steer at all. So b'kol ha'kol l'chatchila, right? Elamiata. If that were true, hakol memirin. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Tzmur, Hakol Memirin, it's Echad Anashim, Echad Nashim, whether it be men or women, Hakol Memirim, so Hachanami de Lechatchilahu. Gemara says, do you really think that because it says Hakol Memirin, that means it's Lechatchilah? After all, it's perfectly clear from the Psukim that that's not the case. Because Aksiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroso, tovara rabito. So you're not allowed to do Tzmurah. Since you're not allowed to do Tzmura, it's obviously only telling you what happens if you go ahead against the rules. That's Bidiyaved. So the word Hakol is not Lechatchila. Says the Gemara, Hasam Kidekatani Taimu. There, you can use the word Hakol because it's perfectly clear from the continuation of the Mishnah that this is only Bidiyaved. Because then it says, Lo Sha'adam Rashai Lahamir Elishim Hamir Mumar. The Sofegas Arbay. So since it says that, it clarifies so it can get away with the terminology Hakol. But when Hakol is the standalone, that means the Chatchila. And then last week I think we discussed a little bit, you know, because we had the chance, you know, why would you get one Malkus or two Malkios? What is the relationship between Lo Yamir and Lo Yachlifenu? There's much more to talk about, but I was trying to explain the idea of the objectionable perspective of interchangeable kedusha, something you can, you know, just exchange for something else. The idea of kedusha, kedusha guf, is an intrinsic idea. Okay, so then the Mishnah goes to the next example, and I wanted to talk about that briefly too, because we don't usually get a chance to speak about this topic either. And that is Ella. So going on to another Mishnah, the Mishnah at the beginning of Erchin, Hakom Arichin v'Nerachin, Nodrin v'Nidarin. So the Mishnah uses the expression Hakol, also when it talks about the subject and objects of Erchin and of Neder. And once again, the Gemara challenges and says, that's why they're bringing it, is that L'chatchila? Meaning the institutions of Erchin and Nedarim are L'chatchila, Hachanami de L'chatchila. Ba'aksiv, b'chi techdal indar, lo yia b'chachet. That if you abstain from making a neder, lo yia b'chachet, then you will avoid transgressing. Right? Uksiv. And further says in Koheles, tova shalot tidor, misha tidor, velo teshalem. Better to have abstained from making a neder, right, if you're not going to ultimately be able to execute or implement it. The Tanya told Mizeh Umizeh She'ena Noder Kol Ikar Div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yudomar told Mizeh Umizeh Noder Umishalim. So there's a fascinating debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda Like, what is better? What is preferable? Is it better not to be noder at all? Or is it better to be noder and to be mekayim the neder? Rabbi Yehuda says it's better to be noder and mekayim the neder. That's what it seems like. And Rabbi Meir says, even if we know that you're going to be mekayim the neder, it's actually better to refrain from the darim to begin with. That's the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara goes on to say that afilo Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the, I guess, you know, more optimistic one here, meaning it's fine, it would be actually preferred to be noder if we could have confidence that you were going to be mekayim the neder. Even Rabbi Yehuda didn't really mean what it seems like he said. He meant something a little different. Lo kamar ela ba'omer harezu. Aval amar hare alai lo. But if he actually says the way the Gemara here says the says this is Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's okay to make a neder if you're going to fulfill the neder, he isn't really referring about to nedarim at all. He's referring to nedava. Now nedava is harezu. There's much less chance of violating a nedava than a neder because there's no time gap. There might be other issues as well, which we'll get to in just a minute. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda seemingly is pretty reticent when it comes to actual nedarim. He'd prefer that people refrain or abstain completely. But that's even preferable to making the commitment and fulfilling the commitment. So according to this Gemara, really it's 2 days in the Gemara Nadarim, we'll see in just a minute, the other day, but according to this Gemara, what emerges is an interesting argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Right, both of them agree that it's better to abstain from the Darim under regular circumstances, even if there's a high degree of likelihood, right, or even if we know that so that the neder will be properly implemented and honored, right? And the debate between them, according to our Gemara, is about nedava, harezu. Everybody agrees that nedava is probably less risky than a neder, and even in nedava, there's a debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is machmir, even in nedava, and Rabbi Yehuda is mekel. But even Rabbi Yehuda, the mekel, if you want to call it that, right, is the even he agrees that you should avoid Yadar. That's what this Gemara says. And then, so you see that this Gemara, that this Mishnah, which says Hakol, is not a lechatchila, it's a b'diavad. So that's what the Gemara says. Ella, if that's the case, what about all the other Hakols out there? Hakol chayom b'sukkah, Hakol chayom b'tzitzis, Hachanami, the lav lechatchila. I'm going to say that those mishnayos are not lechatchila. It says hakol chayom b'sukkah, b'tzitzes. These are mitzvahs that we're very enthusiastic about, right? So they're lechatchila. So hachanami the lav lechatchila, right? So the Gemara says chayavin lo kamina. Since it says chayavin, hakol chayavin, so hakol chayavin would never be b'diavad. But if you say hakol shochtin or hakol, you know, marichin or hakol, mamirin, doesn't say the word chayiv, so then it's an open linguistic question whether it's lechatchila b'diavad, and that's when you have the contradictory information. So the Gemara says elamiyata hakol somchin echad anashim ve'echad nashim. Another mishnah echad somchin hakol somchin. So hachanami, the lav lechatchila, isn't that certainly lechatchila? And there's no word chayiv there. Vaksiv, because it says v'samach yado v'nirtza, that's a precondition for ritsui. So the Gemara says in ika hakol lechatchila v'ika hakol di'evet. You're right. Linguistically, it's not at all clear. You know, hakol, that the word hakol has a single or even a default or dominant meaning. It's, you know, a word that is ambiguous. Sometimes it means l'chatchila, sometimes it means b'diavad. So the Gemara says, Allah called the hakha. Well, once you admit that, then the hakol in our Mishnah about shochdin right? Mimayde lechatchilahu. The tikshalach. Why do you assume it's lechatchilah? Then you ask a question. Dilma diavad hu, right? Velo tikshalach. Why don't you, since it's 50-50, or it's, you know, very possible either way, why don't you just assume that the word hakol here is bidiyavet, and then there's no contradiction between saying hakol shochtin and shchitasan kshera. So the Gemara says, amalei, ana shchitasan kshera kashalei. No, he says, the issue isn't a linguistic one, it's not a stira because of the language, it's a stira because if you don't assume that hakol here is l'chatchila, then the problem is that you've just, you know, you have an extra clause in the Mishnah that is superfluous. That's what bothers. Midik tani shkitasan ksheira, diyeved. So the second clause says shkitasan ksheira, which means b'diyeved, b'chlal d'hakol l'chatchilahu. Di diyeved, tarti diyeved, lamali. If they're both diyeved, then it's superfluous. The only way that it's not is if the resha is l'chatchila. But if it's a chadchila, then eino omer ala darsheni, then you have to explain why it says akol, and then a second later it says that it's only b'diavad. Okay. So that's the shakamatari of the Gemara. So the other thing I wanted to look at very quickly is this question of nadar, because you encounter here in very encapsulated form a very interesting issue about being marbe b'nadarim. Right, is that a bad thing, a good thing? You know, to make a vow, to make a commitment, a halachic commitment, you know, in the form of a neder, right, is that a good or bad thing? Okay? So, you know, on the surface, what's so terrible, you know, about, again, if the idea was, you know, we can all understand on a minimal level, you know, that making a neder is risky. Right, because maybe you know, sometimes you know, people are very generous, you know, in advance, you know, or they're generous, you know, when they're put on the spot or when the spotlight is on them, and you know, they don't always come through with their pledges. So the idea that there's a risk in a neder, and the idea of you know, tov shalotidor mishetidor velot shalem. I think that's very understandable. You know, again, even then, you might say it's not so obvious because, you know, let's say a good number of people, you know, do fulfill their commitment. So, is the risk, you know, in the population, you know, is that enough to, you know, to be negative about the Darim more generally? I mean, one could argue that point. I think that that is an interesting question. There's a fascinating line in the Ran. You look here on page 1 in our Marm Komos. So, was there a Havamina that, you know, Tov Shetidor Afilu Im Lo Tishalem? Right? And what would that be based on? I mean, clearly, if the guy's not going to fulfill his pledge, then there can't be anything constructive about his commitment. Can there? I mean, it sounds like it's an open question if you don't know, and the question is the risk versus the reward, you know, but can there be any value to a person, you know, committing when in the end of the day he doesn't fulfill his pledge? So the Ran actually says, probably he's troubled by these questions, you know, how do you, what's the issue here? The Ran throws out a suggestion, other Rishonim too, but that maybe there is. If you look here at line 33, it's just interesting. Rabbi Yudah Amar Tov Mizeh Umizeh Noderu Mishalem. Vidar Shlu Lekroi Hachi is how he interprets the Pasuk. Esa Sher Tidar Shalem. Vizui Mida Mishubachas. Aval Tova Sher Lo Tidar Mishet Tidar Velo Tishalem. Fine. So then the Ran says, Viteima Pshita. Only in a row. It's obvious. Obviously, if we know you're not going to pay, it's better not to have been no there. So he says a remarkable thing. Hakikamar. Lo tehe sabur, lest you think, shebishas nidrecha atamosiv schus. Pledging shows that you are, let's assume that you're not doing it, you know, to make a stir in the middle of the appeal, you know, or an impression. Let's say you're caught up in the moment, you heard the rabbi's drasha, and you're ready to go, or the cause is something that moves you, or you want to be a good example to your neighbors, and you're totally sincere about your neder. And then it turns out you're not able to, or you thought better of it, or there were other pressures. Says the Ran, you might have thought that it's still beneficial, it's still constructive, right? Shabbashas nidrecha atamosiv schus, because you're lining up, with a very good cause. The achakachim shachachto nenasta, but then you forgot about it, or, you weren't in a financial position to do it, or something else happened, whatever it is. So maybe lo hifsadta scharcha, because you were sincere. She'enochein, that's what the Gemara is telling us, is that your well-meaning pledge, right, when, in retrospect, when you weren't able to implement it, is not constructive. She'en aschar b'shas ha-neder, el b'shas ha-tashlumim. Kach nira shita zos beina. So, really, the Ran here, again, we're just doing a quick in and out, but the Ran here is touching on two very interesting issues. One is, again, this question of, machshava tova here, a person who, since it, obviously, if the person is cynical and he doesn't mean it, that's not what we're talking about. There's no, Meirosh, he has no intention to pay, then there's no havali. But we're talking about somebody who gets caught up in the moment, and he's in over his head, maybe. Or even more, somebody who's totally sincere, but his circumstances change, and then he's not able to complete his neder, right? So the idea that could constitute a kind of an onus, but that, the good intention, I don't just mean machshava tova kodesh baruch hu mitzar fol maisa, maybe that, and maybe more. Likely, the way the Ran formulates it, implies not just machshava tova kodesh baruch hu mitzar fol maisa, but that when you are noder and you are mishalem, right, that the moment of the mitzvah, if you will, is at the moment of the neder. Right? And therefore, in a circumstance where you're not being cynical, but circumstances overtake you, whether it's your hubris or you didn't know your situation, whatever it is, whatever the case may be, so that doesn't negate, the good work or the good intention. So what I'm suggesting is it's not just a good intention. It sounds like the Havamina, according to the Ran, would be that the Shas Neder is the critical moment, basically. And then you can see phase two, the implementing stage, you can see that as an onus. But the Ran's answer is equally fascinating, and I think one could argue with it. You have to look at marshal the evidence in Hilchos Nedarim to see whether it's true or not. But what the Ran says is this would be, which is more striking, this would be true except it's all built on a false premise. And that is that Nedarim, the Ikar moment and the Ikar critical schar, when you do implement your Neder, goes back to the Neder. And the Ran says that's what's wrong. Because really, it's all about the implementation. Instead of seeing the implementation, yes or no, right, as separate from the Ikar mitzvah or din of neder, the Ran says the opposite is true. The neder part, the commitment part, is a setup, right? And it's what's mechayev you, maybe, but in the end of the day, the mitzvah or the kiyum is in the hashlama saneder, not in the asiyas, not in the hafla, but in the asiyas saneder. This is a big issue in nedarim generally, because as we'll see, discuss in just a second, when you violate a neder, you violate lo yachel devaro, right? And this is a big question. The tanaim, the amaraim, the rishonim, the achronim, they all seem to be discussing this in one way or another. And that is, we're talking about it on the side of what's the mitzvah. Let's talk about it in a moment. What's the Isser? When you don't, you know, properly implement your neder, so, and why you're obligated to implement your neder. Is it phase one or is it phase two? Because when you don't do your neder, is it lo yachal devaro, you're a liar? You know, it's the chil dibor that took place 2 weeks ago when you made the pledge, you lumafreya, right? Or is it 2 weeks ago you set up a scenario, right, which creates a personal chiyuv or a personal iser right now? And when you negate that neder now, or because time has passed, or you've done something to neutralize, to make it impossible, whatever it is. So, right, so it's not that l'mafreya, you've made yourself a liar, and you've been mechalel diburcha. Maybe the idea is, you created an iser, and now you're violating it. In advance, you created, you know, in 2 weeks will be an iser, or what is a continuous iser? Say, nidre iser. We'll talk about, you know, nidre gavoa, to bring a korban, to bring tzedakah, whatever it is. So the critical moment is now. And the previous is a set. So that's a huge, huge discussion. Is there a difference between types of nedarim, neder, you know, kanur laba, bekum vase? These would be very interesting questions. Anyway, that's one of the things that the Ran at least mentions about why there might have been a hava mina, that nedarim are always good, even if, you know, it turns out that you didn't implement. Okay.
Is it focusing on Sahar? Or what about the mission 50 always after you have bottom?
The what?
After you have one mission, she's a rabbi, and has a couple of pras. We shouldn't focus on Sahar. He's focusing over here on the Sahar of the mitzvah.
No, I don't think he's talking about the Sahar mitzvah in the same way that Antigonus. He's talking about what you get, not the almanah. The Antigonos Yisocho said you shouldn't be altu avadim amishamshin asarav amnas kabel pras. Right? That doesn't mean that there isn't schar. It just means that you shouldn't be motivated by the schar.
Right.
Yeah, he's not talking about that here. He's talking about maybe you deserve schar for the good thing. You did a good thing, it turned out bad. Or no, you didn't do anything.
Okay, so
it just turned out bad. Good. Right, that doesn't mean you're doing it for that reason. It doesn't say you're doing it for the purpose of schar. He's saying you should get schar because you did a good thing. Ata mosif schus. You are mosif schus. That has nothing to do with Mishnah Avos. Mishnah Avos says, don't do it because you want reward. Not saying that you don't, that when you do Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefika Kirba Lehem Torah Mitzvos, right? Yafashachas Bolamazeh, and you do things which accumulate in your permanent record as Schuyo. So that has nothing to do with Antigonus Yisocho. Antigonus Yisocho is about why you're doing it, what motivates you. Are you sincere? You're doing it because, you know, it's the mitzvah sabore, and you want to be an Eved Hashem, or are you doing it because, you know, you want to rack up, you know, credits, you know, in a more crude way. Anyways, okay, so that's one issue. The bigger issue, of course, yeah.
Is there a star for being the kind of another, or is it just that you're not over the nethers?
Well, it says most of that we'll get. I mean, there's an assay and a lot.
Yeah. So they're positive.
Yeah, there's most of us. Again, a little bit depends on Rameh Rabbeinu, but mostly, we'll see in a moment what, in terms of Minin and Mitzvos, we'll talk about it for very briefly. Yeah.
I was about to ask that. I mean, according to this Halamina, that you get a schar for just saying that, how would that square with something like the Mitzvah Motzos, but not like Tishmar? He said, at the very least, one should be careful and the riskiness of.
Well, this only happened. Right.
Right, but even the Havmiyah to Rabbi Yehuda, even to Rabbi Yehuda, how would he square it with that it's better to be no there and Mishah.
Right, so I think you could say, right, so you could say Motzos Asecha Tishmar means when you're in control. Meaning, it's very easy to explain the psukim and say, you know, you made this neder, Motzos Asecha Tishmar. Mm-hmm. You know, that's different than, I made this neder. I had every intention to fulfill it, either because of my hubris or my excitement. I got it over my head, or because I was very capable at that time, and you know my circumstances changed, and now I can't do it. So how do we look at this in retrospect? That's different than Motzei Sasecha. You could still say that Motzei Sasecha Tishma means I made this pledge. I'm capable of fulfilling it, right? But I'm dragging my feet. Right? Or I'm just being told, you know, you have to fulfill your plan.
That wouldn't automatically be megal that I wasn't being protected, that I wasn't being careful if I had hubris, meaning hubris in itself.
I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. Hubris could be, that's why I'm not sure what the case of the Ran is. I was trying to provide, you know, two extreme cases. What I think is clearly not under the purview of the Ran is the case where the person's being cynical, or he's being, you know, he's showing off. I don't think he would ever say it in that case. But the idea that, oh, I got caught up in the moment and I didn't bother to see what my balance is, you know, in my checkbook or,
right.
You know, or, and certainly the other case makes sense. But either way, I wouldn't have trouble, even if you said this, there would still be Motzei Sasecha Tishma. You're still supposed to try to implement your neder properly.
So how could we even understand Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, how is that not a direct violation to Motzei Sasecha Tishma? To say Tov Shei Tido B'Tishalim.
No, this is to explain.
You're perfectly altruistic. Aren't you violating the Shmira that one should be careful? You can't, since a person can't guarantee Tishalim.
Right. Now you're asking a different question. Not in the round. You're asking a different question.
Right. I guess.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. That we'll get to in a second. Yeah. Who's? Are we good? Okay. So let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Exactly as you're saying. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. For a couple of minutes. So again, you know, the Ran was a radical case, and even then there was something to talk about, and something even to disagree about, frankly. Not about the Havamina, but about why the Havamina is wrong. The Havamina might be wrong for the other reasons, right? So, okay. But at the end of the day, what is this Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir? Who default seems to be correct? And what is this all about? So one way to look at the whole sugya is to look at it in terms, very pragmatic terms, like you said, like Ari just said, it has to do with like Shmira. I mean, you have to be super careful when you make a commitment. It's not just about, you know, not flagrantly, you know, violating it or transgressing it. Maybe it's about, you know, your word being your bond, and, you know, you just being, and especially when you invoke, you know, halachic institutions like Shavua or Neder, that you better be, you know, very cautious and very careful. Because, you know, these are concepts that you know, we should be reverent about and not casual about, right? Oh. So one way to look at this whole discussion, because then what we'd be saying is, all things being equal, Rabbi Yehuda could be right, and even Rabbi Yehuda and the Darim might have been right. Namely, if you're going to be Noder and you're going to be Mekayim, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. Right? The problem is the risk. Right? You shouldn't be, you know, are we risk averse? The answer is when something, you know, significant is at stake, something precious is at stake, then people should be more risk averse. If they're not, it's not a function of their boldness, it's a function of their, you know, their trivializing of the institution. Okay. So one way to look at Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is precisely in this way. That Rabbi Meir certainly held that Motzei Sasecha or something like that, Tishmor, the need for Shmira, right, requires that you bend over backwards and that you try to avoid this, you know, completely. Because even if in most cases you're going to implement the Neder properly, right, on the chance that you won't, or in those few cases that you won't, or that other people wounds because you're making the darim, therefore they're making the darim, whatever it is, you know, the risk, basically, given the institution's nature, right, mandates against, there's upside, even the risk of the downside, let's say, negates the significant upside. That would be the approach. And indeed, if you look at some of the Rishonim al Atar, that certainly seems to be what they are talking about. For example, if you look at Rashi here, Tov Mizeh Umizeh, I'm sorry, She'eino Noder Kol Ikar, Says Rashi on Beis Hamavad, Sharogel ben Nedarim, Boli Dei Lo Yachol Dvar. You're risking Lo Yachol Dvar, and even if this particular case you're not risking it, being Rogel ben Nedarim lists it. Because there's a particular additional problem here, and that is that Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that even a Nedava should be avoided. Right? The risk in violating a Nedava is significantly minimized relative to a neder, because it's an immediate, right? So it's not like, oh, who knows what your financial condition will be, or maybe you'll forget, or maybe you'll change your mind, right? Or, you know, something will happen in between. Right? You're doing it pretty much almost immediately. So I wouldn't say that there are no hazards, but the risk, you know, that you're averse to is significantly diminished. And once that is the case, you wonder, like, what's really going on? But Rashi, by saying that Kala Rogil bin Adarim puts Layachal Devaro in jeopardy, right, also probably means to discuss that, and that is the Regilus bin Adarim, even in the cases where there's little risk, right, still poses risk, you know, to other Nedarim. Like if people are making Nedarim all the time, or even bringing to Davos all the time, then some people are going to be Nedarim, and that's going to put Layachol Dvaro at risk. That's quite a popular view among the Rishonim. Again, Bali Tosis also, mostly, you know, seem to be thinking that that the problem is a problem of risk. If you look here on Dab Beis on the base, it's interesting for other reasons too. We'll just run through it very quickly. Tosas de Ramaskal Aval Omar Harealai, right? Low. Tosas says Haksugya. Firstly, points out that Haksugya Kalishna Basra the Parakama de Nedarim. Right? The Kamri, there the Gemara says the Pligi Benodev. Avalishna kama the kamar the pligi binoder avalnodev moder Rabbi Meir. There's another lashon. I have it here on the sheet. If you look at it very quickly, the Gemara Nedarim Tesamid Beis says one second. Actually, look on the one before because we're going to get that in just a second. Anyway. This is the Mishnah Nedarim. Mishnah Nedarim says, this is number 7, line 7, first page, says, K'nidre Rishoy. We'll discuss this in just a minute. Nadar b'nazir, right, u'b'korban u'b'shvua. Okay? That's a strange language of the Mishnah, but that basically means that a person who's noder, or makes a neder of nazirus, or to bring a korban, or he takes a shvua, that's called Nidre Rishoy. Pretty strong language, right? Kenidre k'sherim, right? Lo amar klum. If you say, "Oh, I want to, I want to go the route of nidre k'sherim," that's nothing, because k'sherim don't make nidara. Okay, right? Kenidvosam nadar benazir ubekarb. That's the mission. So the Gemara says kenidre rishon lo amar klum. What does that mean? Who's the Mandamar who distinguishes between Neder and Nedava? Sounds like there's another Mandamar. It's not Rameir, not Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya. Tova Shalotidor. Tov Mizeh Mizeh Shein Nodar Kol Ikar Divri Rabbi Meir. Like we have in our Sugya. Rabbi Yeromer. Tov Mizeh Mizeh Nodar Mishale. The best is if you implement your Neder. So I feel it sounds like, you know, that this is a debate about Nedarim. And that there's no difference between Neder and Nedava. Says the Gemara, I feel the tamer Rabbi Meir. No, he come Rabbi Meir. When did Rabbi Meir say that it's better to abstain from Nedarim, even if you're going to actually implement them? He said that, B'neder. B'nedava lo ka'amar. V'alitzkani k'nid v'osam, nadar b'nazir b'karban, Tani Nadav b'Nazir u'b'Karba. And what's the difference? Maishna de Noder de Lo, according to Rabbi Meir, but Nadava's okay. Dilma Asi ba Lide Takala. Because we're worried, this is where the Gemara seems to say pretty clearly, that we're worried about a Takala. meaning that you will, you know, make a mistake. You won't fulfill the neder, probably. Says the Gemara, well, nedava nami lo, right? If they're worried about takala, there are takalos to worry about in the dava as well. For example, you are no deva korban. This some of the Rishonim say alatar. What about mi'ila? Right, we're worried you're not going to treat it properly, so you could violate mi'ila. Or the other view that the Ran mentions, you could violate tabal ta'acher. Right? Let's say you didn't bring it. You said harezu, but you actually didn't bring it, you know, to be nikrav, you know, for, you know, the time period that you're supposed to, one of the bregalim. So there are ways to be in violation even in nedava. Says the Gemara, ki hilla zake. What we mean by nedava is like hilla zake. Tanya amra hilla zake shalom ma'al adam be'olaso kol yamav. Hilla zake had a system. You know? So when he brought in the dava, he didn't just say harezu. And then, you know, and then the animal was you know, on his farm or etc. He would bring the animal, mevia kishi chulin la zara umakdisha. He would bring the animal when it was still chulin into the azara, or right to the azara, and there he would be makdishit, the somachala v'shochtan. Right away he'd do smicha and shchita of the korban. Meaning he minimized the potential, or maybe even eliminated the potential of some sort of a takal. So this Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Meir, everybody agrees, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda both agree, that nedava, right, is okay. The only thing they argue about is neder. Our Gemara is the other deha. Right? Our Gemara says, even Rabbi Yehuda's meko, it's only a nedava. Rabbi Meir doesn't like nedavas either. Okay. So Tosa says about all this, aval alishna kama de kama de pligi benoder, aval benode mod Rabbi Meir. Vim tomar, kivin de krab in neder ksiv, minole Rabbi Meir, de ein nodev, tov, minoder umishalem. Once, right, and similarly, Rabbi Yudanami, amai, imamar hare alai, lo, right? I'll call hechad chsiv neder, have a neder davka. Or a dava, have a dava davka. Kin buchot breish minachos zvachim. Kabe kasher nedarta l'Hashem alokecha nedava. The parachai nedava neder hu. Tosfos just asks a question. He says, I don't understand the whole sugya. The language and the psukim, everything that's being quoted by Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, is about nedarim. He says, I don't understand why, if the argument in the psukim and in the language is about nedarim, why wouldn't everybody agree that nedava, you know, is different?
What is nedarim?
And why wouldn't everybody, and why would the man d'amar who says that the argument is about nedava, right, why would he say that when the language is neder? What's the question?
What is nedava when it says
harezu?
Harezu is nedava?
Yeah. Harealai is a neder. Which is why a nedava is no chiyav achrayas. Because it is what it is. This is what you were machdish. Harei alai is a chavas hagavra. So even if you had a, you were machfirish an animal, it doesn't matter. Since you said harei alai, you have to bring, something happens to it, you have to bring something else. So this is Tosis' question. So this is an interesting Tosis in that, in a nutshell, what this Tosis is discussing, in a way, is the relationship between nedarim and nedava. So again, another massive topic that we're not going to go into. But you can just imagine, right? Meaning, a nedava is a form of a neder, or the gap between neder and nedava is big. So when the psukim talk about the neder, can you just say, oh, it means nedava? If nedava is a kind of a neder, then maybe you could. And similarly, if there's an iser regarding the neder, how do you know that it's also asur for a nedava? But if you think that the difference between harezu and harealai is more peripheral, but that fundamentally they're the same kind of a thing, right, then these are good questions in Tosfos. Okay, anyways, Tosfos goes on to say, v'yeshu farshim d'hasam parech v'shum d'shani krav v'dibure. Okay, v'yeshlamak asavar kimin d'chayish kol d'takala v'neder hu adin b'nedava. He says, no. It's true that there might be a difference between neder and nedava, but still the default assumption is that whatever applies to one would apply to the other, because the common denominator, the problem here is a problem of shmira min ha-takala. The ikel mekash ha-takala, the afilu mebi'a le'azara makdisha, like Hillel, right? Yachali hanos the limoba. There's still ways to mess up. We weren't saying that Hillel's foolproof had a foolproof methodology, you know, that, you know, if you follow his you know, his method, you know, you couldn't mess up if you wanted to. That's not what we're saying. We're saying Hillel, you know, is very careful. His shmiro is on a very high level. And therefore, he would only be no Dave under the following circumstances, and that's why he was confident, and maybe in fact, that may olam lo hevi liday, you know, meila, etc. That doesn't mean other people less sensitive and less, creative than Hillel and less concerned than Hillel are immune from takala. Rabbi Yehuda nami mashma lekra dafka ben adava afagav de neder ksiv. The habineder lamatzi lemeimar, right? The noder mishalim tov, shrei ksiv ki techtal indar lo yibachachet. So even in the psukim itself, it sounds like certain noders are not bad. So maybe that shows that one is a noder and the other is a nedava. Ha'im tidar yibachachet, ulishne kama the nedar mifarshin of the krach. Ha'im tidar efter shi yibachachet and lo tishalim. Fine. And then finally, Tosas basically says. Part of our introductory topics, which took a little while, we did the sugya on Tezayin Yudzayin, by Rabbi Shmuel's view, which was that in the Midbar, right, they didn't eat basar taiva, they only ate basar shlamim. Okay? But the basar shlamim that they ate, obviously, were all the darim. Right, in the Davos at least. Because they weren't obligatory shlamim. They were, he was hungry. Right? He wanted to have a barbecue, and the Rabbi Shmuel said, you're not allowed to do that unless it's a shlamim. But how can you do that? How can you be, you know, makriv the shlamim through a neder or a nedava if you hold like Rabbi Meir that you know, you should avoid nedarim at all costs? Right, so it says, listen, it must be that since the Torah itself is telling you in the Midbar that you can eat basar shlamim, so, and the circumstances are that that's the only way to eat meat, so that is no longer viewed as a gratuitous neder. Here it's a neder in order to be able to eat meat, which the Torah clearly sanctions. Either way, it's an interesting.
Why couldn't they be knowing like Hillel?
Sorry? They could have. He's just saying that Hillel doesn't work for Rabbi Meir. Right. According to our Gemara. Yeah. Then Tosa says, Vim Tomar, Haksiv, Vayidor Yaakov Neder. It's our Parsha, right? Vayidor Yaakov Neder? Uksiv, Es Asher Nadarti, Hashalema. So why was Yaakov making Nadarim if it's a pretty risky, and therefore an improper thing to do? The Yeshom of the Bishas Tzara Shari, can I read Bereshit Rabbah? Vayidar Yaakov Neder Leymar, Leymar Ledoros, right? Sheyuhu Nodrim Be'es Tzara. Being Noder Be'es Tzara, that's a special heter. Very interesting. But again, what emerges from Tosis and from Rashi, and a little bit from the Ran in the Darim and Aftes that we already saw, is that the problem of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, exactly as you said, is Moses Asecha Tishmor, it's the idea of not risking Bal Yachel, not risking Me'ila, according to some, not risking Bal Ta'acher. It's a cost-benefit analysis, where being risk-averse is the halachically proper thing, and hashkafically proper thing to do. Okay? That's so far. The Ramban was a little bit, already begins to question some of this. And we'll see that others go much further. So look at the Ramban here just for a second. On the daf, that's on the next, on the second page. Kiddush Ramban Kulin Beis on the Aleph. Everybody have it? On page 2, starting from line 12. You see there's a few different views of the Ramban. Clearly he is struggling with this question. Especially, you know, if you're going to do Hillel's Nadava, that's such a big risk, right? So first Tosa says line 12, I mean the Ramban says line 12, the Eish Omrim, Dil Rabbi Meir, Afilu Mevi Allah Sochulin Lazara, right, even if you do the Hillel, you know, mechanism, protocol, you bring your Ola to the Azara while it's still Chulin, still Tosha Layavi Klau. So the Ramban at least is raising the objection. He says, I don't see what the problem is. It's not such a terrible risk. The Rashi Kosav Sharagil Binadarim Baladela Yachel, the Rashi that we saw, meaning, you know, the risk isn't maybe in the Nadava, although that's what Bali Tosa said. You can still mess up even in a Nadava, right? But what Rashi probably meant was, if you bring the dava, then somebody else will bring a neder. Because you ragil b'nedarim, and then somebody, there'll be some incidents of violating layach. Okay, klomar. Afilu b'nod l'adar klal, asur, shaloi hei ragil b'nedarim. That's how the Ramban is interpreting Rashi. Yeah, I guess you can argue that Rashi didn't mean it that way, but that's how the Ramban is interpreting. Oh. Then he says, an amazing idea. Ramban always has amazing ideas. This is line 14. So the first perspective of the Ramban basically highlights, just to make clear where we are so far, that basically if we're working with this takala idea, risk-benefit, right, then he's the one who's just asking, I don't really get that it's such a big risk. And he's trying to explain in a couple of ways that it's still risky enough. Fine. Obviously, Layachol Dvaro or some of these other takalos are of sufficient stature that avoiding them, you know, even with not such big risk, is still important and still says something about your broader reverence, you know, for these institutions. That itself is something to understand. Anyways, the Yesh Omrim, then he comes up with his own idea, which is fascinating. The Yesh Omrim Mishum Sharagel Bekarbanos Eino Yarei Min Hashgagos. Shehu somech al korbanosav. Umi she'enu mevi korban klal, hu medak tek al atzmo shelo yavi lidechet al yado. And this is also fascinating. Afilu b'shogeg. Wow. The Ramban came up with a whole different idea. Maybe the problem is not a problem of takala at all. The problem is, and the nadarim that he's speaking about are nidre hektesh, nidre gavoa. The problem is over-reliance on karbanos. That's what he's suggesting. That harugel b'karbanos is not going to be yorei min hashgagos because he's so mechal karbanos. Very fascinating idea. And what's also interesting, and misha'eni maybe karban klal is medakte kalatzmo shalayavu dechet oyado afilu b'shogeg. What do you mean, afilu b'shogeg? Shogeg is shogeg. What is medak de gatzmo, afilu b'shogeg? So this, of course, is an important truism, and that is, you know, shogeg brings a karban, unlike mesasek, or ones. And a shogeg is an error, sometimes an error in identifying the object, sometimes a halachic error in the rules of the halacha. And, you know, of course, it's kirchok migim mizrach mimarav of amazed. But it doesn't mean that it's not onus, and it's not misasek. It doesn't mean that you're innocent. Meaning ignorance of the law or lack of awareness of the identity of the object is also betokens, right, a certain cavalier, you know, attitude towards religious life. Again, so no one thinks that you should be obsessed, you know, to the point of an unhealthy, fear of averos, but Yiras Shamayim demands that a person should be cognizant of the landscape around him, and certainly his spiritual landscape, so that shogeg isn't mezid, but shogeg is a maisa avera. And if a person has a different attitude and orientation, the Ramban is saying, then he could really avoid shkogos, because the shkogos are avoidable. You see this, of course, more when the stakes are higher. You know, we talk about, nefishi rotzchim, when it comes to Ari Mikla, even though we're talking about Misa Bishkoga. Some of the Mepharshim asked this question. What do you mean nefishi rotzchim? First of all, why do you call them rotzchim? And what do you mean nefishi rotzchim? It can't be a pattern, it's just a mistake. Right? But we're not talking about Misasek, we're not talking about Onus. We're talking about people whose actions, aren't murderous, but they are careless, and therefore there's a level of responsibility for what they do. So the Ramban is saying here, overuse of karbanos psychologically, leaves one with the impression, inoculates one, from the feeling, that he has to be nizar. It's like, oh, I'm good, I have this safety, valve, safety net, I bring in karbanos all the time. A, I'm a pretty good guy. And B, these karbanos that I'm bringing all the time, even though they're not, they're kind of my safety net for mistakes that I make. And Ramban says that's halachically counterproductive. It's a little bit like a Yorah, it's a little bit different than a Yorah too. We'll see in a minute that Ramban has an equally strong comment about karbanos. Anyways, but the whole orientation in this suggestion of the Ramban is different. It's not about the takala, the potential that you're going to violate l'yachal dvaro. It's about there being some downside to an overindulgence in the darim to begin with. Except that for the Ramban, it's psychologically, overcompensation. Ramban saying, too many nadarim, look good on paper. Right? But in the end of the day, they may be motivated by, right, the opposite. Maybe you're trying to expand your safety net in a way that makes you less responsible for your specific behavior. And, that actually may lead you, astray. And certainly can lead you to be irreverent or less, viewing with less consequence the actions that you're involved in. That's a fascinating, I think it's a fascinating Ramban. Okay. Then the Ramban goes on to make another suggestion. This is on line 17. Yeah.
So he would not have a problem there. He would say that the Ramban focus about non-korban related nidarim.
Hard to say, unless he thinks that, that the same idea, according to this view, that a similar idea, we'll see in a minute, that there's a good reason to apply a similar, maybe even more reason, to apply a similar idea to Nidre Iser. But he's definitely not, maybe he means even Nidre Gavoa, because in a minute we'll see that there's some who think Nidre Gavoa is more compelling to do than Nidre Iser. So it's a good question, but we'll see in a minute. I'm not really sure. But it'll come up in a sec. So then the Ramban in continuation says, B'li Nira, line 17, D'il Rab Meir Nadava D'hil Ladifa U'b'drab Yehuda Hu D'metar Tzvigamar Node V'lo B'drab Meir U'mashmoz Dorshin D'kra Yika Benayu. This is also a sensational answer. This view of the Ramban, basically the Ramban, because of his original question, if the point is takala, so what's so bad about Nadava? Why should Rav Meir be opposing even Nadavos? Right? So earlier he was quoting Rashi, I expanded on it. Right? Then the second view is this has nothing to do with Takala. It has to do, meaning not in a narrow way, it has to do with a broader orientation towards, you know, Zahirus and you know, and safety nets. You'd think a safety net would always be good, but it depends. This is kind of like a bit of a cynical safety net, you know? Or a safety net that, you know, is effective, but basically, you know, allows you, you know, to be less, you know, focused and less, less obligated. Anyways, so in his third pshat, he basically says, Inachanami, it seems in the Gemara as if Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry, as if Rabbi Meir rejects even Adava, but it isn't really true. The Gemara, because of the nature of the psukim, was trying to explain how Rabbi Yehuda explains Nadava. But since Rabbi Meir is motivated by Takala, even more than Rabbi Yehuda, right, he's the guy who's going to say, yeah, I don't never apply this to Nadava. In a way, when Tosis asks the question, just because Rabbi Meir thinks Nadarim are off limits, why does that mean Nadava's off limits? So the Ramban's answer is, you're right. But he's saying it even more strongly. And more than that, you don't even need a makar, you know, for Rabbi Meir. Because since Takala is the Mechayiv, what's that got to do with Nadar, with Nadavos? Bishlam of the Rabbi Yehuda, you know, he's just got to explain Psukim, you know. He turned everything on his head, the Ramban. But again, it's a rejection of this Takala idea. Then the Ramban goes further. In line 20, quotes Tosas. Says the Ramban, ul dvarenu achlu nadavos kehilo. Right? There's no question, because Tosas is asking, Tosas assumes Rabbi Meir, right, rejects even the Dava, which is a simple reading of the Gemara. But the Ramban says, according to my, you know, mechudash reading of the Gemara, there's no problem. It was the Dava. The Heimram or Lefisha Nasru Babasatai Vavut Rishlamim, Odikshot Siva Yido Yaakov Neder, the teacher of the Shas Tzara Shiny. But then the Ramban says, yeah, the line 23, Beli Nira, Shalo Ostron Ela Bekotche Mizbeach, Shema Yavo Lide Takal. The Ein, right, Bekarbonos Tzorach Gavoa Kedaksiv Hine Shmoa Mizevach Tov. This is also going to be interesting. To answer the Yaakov Avinu question about Nidarim, the Ramban says, I think we should be mechalik between Nidre Gavoa, mean bringing Karbanos, right? Because Nidre Karbanos, he says, are also of less value than you might think. Ramban may have the opposite. Why? Because Hinei Shmoa Mizevach Tov. Or like, you know, the Haftarah that we just read in Malachi, basically. Mm-hmm. Or what we read before Tisha B'Av, right? Lamali Rov Zivcheche. This whole question of Karbanos, and again, it gets a little bit like the Ramban before. Where the Ramban before was saying, you know, don't let, you know, Karbanos, you know, end up being a crutch. You don't let it be overcompensation. It's kind of the same idea. That's what Lamali Rov Zivchechem or Hine, you know, Shmoa Mizevach Tov doesn't mean that Karbanos are not important. Chalila. There's a whole Seder called Avoda. And again, the Avos already were being makar of Karbanos. But do you, because of the nature of what Karbanos is, right, and it's this heady Avoda, etc., the danger of overcompensation, you know, is much greater. Like I'm bringing Karbanos. Things are good. Right? I'm bringing extra Karbanos. So Hine Shmoa Mizevach Tov. Lama Li Rov Zivchechem Amar Hashem. Or this, the Malachi, right? Mitzvah Baba Veira, you know, don't be duped into thinking that because you bring a Karban that you can bring him in a Gazel. Right? And that's what the Ramban is saying here. He's saying, basically, Yaakov Avinu and then Vayidar Yaakov Neder, right, was about giving, about other Nadar, about giving tzedakah. It wasn't about, It wasn't about karban. Maybe only karbanos are limited. And remember, that's what he said before. Too many karbanos, the problem is, you know, you think you have your safety net. So, you know, so you don't need to pay attention anymore. You don't need to be scrupulous and rigorous. Right. So that's what the Ramban says. Abul Tztako Lahafrish Iser Laniyim. Veinsar Kolom Lekayim Mitzvos. That's also an interesting hierarchy. Meaning there, in the hierarchy, there's a Neder Lekayim Isa Mitzvah. Get that in a second. Then there's Nidrei Tztaka. Right? Iser Laniyim, Maiser Ani. Or whatever. Maiser Ksafim probably means. And then there's Karbanos. That Nishbarim and Odrim. And for that he quotes, interestingly, Kiritam Ba'avos Nidarim Siag Laprishus. And he just says, in Avos, Nidarim Pergimel Siag Laprishus. All the Mepharshim have trouble or have the challenge to explain that Mishnah. It sounds like Nidarim Siag Laprishus. I mean, Nidarim is a good thing. It's a constructive thing. But our Gemara, Rameir and Rabbi Huda, they're both agreeing it's not such a constructive thing. Just Rameir thinks it's really destructive, and Rabbi Huda's a little more flexible. Like, well, what's going on? So till now, the Ramban was discussing, like, what's so terrible? Right? Now he's going further. Not only that, what's so terrible? The Mishnah and the Darim, I mean, the Mishnah and the Avos, seems to say it's good. He answers the difference between Nidrei Karbanos and Nidrei Tzedakah and Kol Shekein Nidrei Mitzvah. Yeah.
Isn't that a case of where it's either or, where you'd be either Shomea or bringing the Korban?
No, 100%.
So
no one thinks. No, but that's what I'm saying. This is, in my opinion, this line in the Ramban is connected to the previous line in the Ramban. I mean, this line in the Ramban is connected with the line of Sha'ragel b'karbanos eni yari min ashkagos shehu so mechal karbanosa v'mishen eni mevi karban hu medakte kalatzmo shalavi lavo rav shalo yavo chet al yado afilu b'shogeg. So that's what he's saying. The Ramban's not anti-karbano. The Ramban is, you know, in Parshas Vayikra, as is well known, you know, the Ramban quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, who has, you know, this controversial, very narrow explanation of Karbanos, and the Ramban, you know, really emphatically attacks it. He says Karbanos are intrinsically valuable. You can't formulate their, you know, toelet, you know, like the Rambam did. I mean, the Ramban is a big fan of Karbanos. but he also thinks that Ribui Karbanos, right, can be psychological religious overcompensation. So that's what he's concerned about. Yeah?
Yeah, I was struck by what you were saying. So, well, when you talk about Nefishi Rolskim,
yeah.
So the Tzim says, because there are a lot of Rolskim, so that creates a casual atmosphere towards the Tzicha,
yeah,
and has an effect on...
And Shogeg too. Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's the same idea over here. There's a,
right.
You take it casually, you're not going to be paying attention to the Aveilu, you know, because right. You don't have a Korban.
Yeah, no, that's what I was referring to before about Nefishi Rotzim. Meaning not, you know, there are Rotzeach B'mezin and Rotzeach B'shkaga. But the Rotzeach B'shkaga, if it was just like happenstance and narrow in this particular case, then it would be irrelevant that there are Nefishi Rotzim, you know, who are Rotzeach B'mezin. But if it also is about, oh, you know, like manslaughter, oh, you know, you're not so careful. You know, you go, you know, you go hunting and you're not... something's moving in the thing, that's probably an animal. You know, that's different than, you know, or maybe going hunting at all, right? Like the Nora Behuda says. Anyways, okay, so these are some of the perspectives. There is another perspective going further than the Ramban or parallel to the Ramban. Again, more disconnected with Takala, although Takala has to play a little role. Either there has to be. Let me say the following. The Gemara in the Darim that we read before speaks about Takala. Right, so if you explain that Takala isn't the potential violation of Lo Yachel Devaro or Lo Sa'acher or Me'ila, So what is the takala referring to? So for example, according to the Ramban, so will the Ramban tell you that takala is this psychological overcompensation? Are you flirting with that? Maybe. Maybe. Or the fact that there is some takala, even on a narrow scale, a yachal, etc., feeds in to the fact, well, you wouldn't do this unless there was some benefit, you know, spiritual benefit, but, you know, kind of a cynical spiritual benefit, or, an apparent spiritual benefit. And that's where we get into the problem. Okay, either way, there's another perspective here, and that is the perspective that is based on the Yerushalmi, and based on the Ran and the Dar. The Gemara says in the Darim, on Daf Kav Beis Amud Aleph, this is on page 2, line 3. I want to finish with this if we can, but so we can continue next week. Hanoder, oh, I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry, it's on page 1, bottom. One on the bottom. Yeah. On one of the bottom, it says, on line 40, everybody have that? The Tanya Rav Nosson Omer, Hanoder Ki'ilu Ban Abama. Okay? Bahamakaimo Ki'ilu Makar Valav Karba. A very fascinating Gemara. That if you're Noder, it's as if you built a Bama. What does that mean? Bahamakaimo, if you're Makaim the Neder, Ki'ilu Makar Valav Karba. And the Ran explains on page 2, on the spot. What does it mean, a noder kilum bona bama? Is that so bad or what? The answer is yes, says the Ran. Bishas isra bamos. That one they're permissible. And then he adds, v'nir be'enai delahachem medamina lelabona bama. What's this comparison between being noder and building a bama? So he says very well, v'shem zesalak adaite, the noder, the mitzvah kavod, again, the psychology of Avodas Hashem and these things, it's like very fascinating. The guy thinks, I'm doing a really good thing. Why? Drachmana asra b'mili di yisura. Right? The Torah forbids you to do certain things. V'iyunami asra nafshe. He's going even further. He's adding, right, impositions, limitations, in his, you know, behavior, even going beyond the Torah. That looks like a really good thing. Looks like he's, you know, he's in the spirit of it, and he's even more machmir than Din Torah. The Ka'amar, and by saying that it's Kilu Bonabama, what we're saying is Dita'i, that he's making a big mistake. Why? The Adaraba, Le Bonabama Dami, actually is like a Bonabama. The Nedrachmana Azhare La Kruve Karbanos Bifnim. It's true that the Torah, right, demands that he bring Karbanos properly inside the Beis HaMikdash. But Azhare de la Losi Falei Allah Livnos Bamo La Hakruv Bachutz. But equally, the Torah says that you're not allowed to bring Karbanos anywhere. You can only bring Karbanos according to the framework, according to the protocols, according to the rules of Dinei Torah. You can't bring a korban on a bama, as sincere as you might be. Right? Hachanami, nehid rachmana asar alei dvarim asurim. It's true that limitations, certain limitations, are constructive spiritually, and the Torah imposes them. But kimosif ihu, when he himself initiates these limitations, amai d'asar rachmana, beyond what the Torah already imposed, pasha, that's considered pshia. Ke'inin shomer b'Yerushalmi, according to Yerushalmi, lo dayecha b'mesha asra Torah, ela shata osar alecha dvarim acherim. Right? V'shayich bei nami haylishna mishim da noder matvis b'karban. Neder is related to karban, so the calling it a bama isn't so strange. V'kim shein karbano ratsui, nimtze kebona bama makur b'chutz. So it's a wild Yerushalmi, and an amazing explanation of the Ran. So what is the Ran really saying? That Torah Hashem is Tamima, Torah was set up in a perfect homeostasis kind of a way, with perfect balance, right? And that if you, you know, tamper with that, you know, especially if you're not perfect, you know, in following, you know, the prescribed, you know, biblical divine protocols, right? So you're playing with, you know, with imbalancing the entire system. Right? Lo dayecha b'mesh asra Torah, right? Ata osra alecha dvarim acherim. So that is, according to the Ran, what the Gemara means when it says ki'ilu bana ba. It's possible that that is connected with Rabbi Meir, according to some Rishonim, that that is connected with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as well. This is what I meant before about, you know, being a parallel to what the Ramban was talking about. The Ramban was saying, you think you're bringing karbanos, you think it's a good thing. On some level, you may mean it as a good thing. In some cases, it may actually be a good thing. Right? But the danger is that, you know, this safety net is going to make you more reckless, you know, and less rigorous and less scrupulous, and that's a net negative. So we're saying the same thing here. You want to be, you know, you're so enamored with the Surah Torah that you want to, you know, restrict yourself even more. Kadesh atzmecha v'mutar lecha. And there is such a concept. And there is a concept of being machmir in cases where sometimes it's tavola bracha. And there are cases, as we'll see in a second, where you're supposed to be no there. Right? But you should know what you're dealing with. Namely, you are playing with, you're tampering with, potentially, with this perfect balance. Moreover, you have to be careful not to, my words now, not to kind of violate the concentric circles, meaning, you know, the Dine Torah come first. So, you know, unless you've, like, handled them perfectly, Lo Dayecha B'mesha Asra Torah, meaning not just like, oh, the Torah didn't Asr enough, you need more Isurim, but also kind of the connotation, like you've mastered and are perfect in Masha Asra Torah that now, you know, you're adding your own personal ones. It's a little like Lo Sosif Lo Sigra.
Like a Nazir.
What's that?
Like Nazir.
Oh, the Nazir is right. So our view on the Nazir is very ambivalent, right? He brings a Korban Chatos, that's a famous comment that the Gemara has, because he's Mitzar Atzmo Minayayim. You know, Ramban likes him very much in Perish Al HaTorah. Clearly it's a debate. So now I want to share with you the view of the Rambam, which is predictably, I think, and certainly actually very complex. Being the Rambam speaks about this question about, you know, this attitude towards the Nedarim in a bunch of places, usually in the end. I forgot for some reason to put Hilchos Shavuos on the sheet, but the end of Hilchos Shavuos, the end of Hilchos Nedarim, the end of Hilchos Nezirus, and the end of Hilchos Erechin, and again in Shemona Prakim. And given the Rambam's famous view in Shemona Prakim and in Hilchos Deos about a perfectly balanced way of living, you know, the Derech HaMelech, you would expect that his view would be complex, and I'm just going to show you that it is complex, meaning the Rambam is open to Nedarim and Shvuos and Erchin tweaking, you know, your part of the system. And at the same time, you know, he is wary, you know, and cautious about that as well. But the Rambam doesn't think pe'echad in what we've seen so far. In other words, it's one perspective. There's nothing wrong with any of this, except you have to worry about the shmira from takalas. And then another perspective, you could say, well, you know, there's another issue here, you know, that is very specifically karbanos. And now with the Ran and the Yerushalmi, we've introduced, I think the Ran holds this way too, a different question, and that is the perfect balance in the system, and the question of chumros and tosafos and girua. It's really part of this mat, which is the reason I figured it was a good topic, just since it's here, a little bit. Half of it is here, half is in the Darim. But it's a very important question. Yeah, did you want to ask something? Cool. No, no, we're good. Yeah, I thought I saw a hand before.
Yeah, does anybody discuss the fact that we've been discussing the fact that Dharam can have a positive spiritual effect, a psychological effect? Are there any positive palakas effects?
There are in the sense, well, spiritual and halakha. I mean, let's say tikkun, let's say you need to balance yourself off. That's what we're going to show you in the Rambam.
But that's not a halakhic, I was thinking that.
Well, neder is not mechuyev. There's no chiyuv neder.
No. But I was thinking that if someone makes a neder, it obviously creates a higher obligation.
Correct.
So.
Oh, is that ever a positive thing in its own right?
Yeah, so could it be. That gadol mitzvah v'yoseh also?
Okay, so that's an interesting point. So let's look at the, in light of that, because I think it's a good ha'ara. So again, I would say as follows. If you look at Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, certainly Rabbi Meir, but even Rabbi Yehuda, according to our Gemara, who only is positive about the Davos, you get a very negative impression of Nadar. Let's just say it this way. Then when you look at the Mishnah in Nadar, which we read before, Nidrei Rishayim, Nadar Benazir, Bekarben, Beshua, Kenidrei Ksheirim, right, Lo Amar Klom. So just you say, once you read the Gemara, you understand what it's talking about. It's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is still elected to call a person who makes gratuitous nadarim nidrei rishayim. Right? So you have Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, based on this. You have the language of nidrei rishayim. Right? You have the sugya nadarim ki labona bama. These are not enthusiastic things. On the other hand, right, there's neder, siag laprisha. Right? That sounds good. And you have, cases like Yaakov Avinu, who obviously was doing a good thing. And you have other makaros that imply that it's a good thing as well, including what you just asked, which is the first makar that I put on the makaros, page 1, line 3. The Gemara says in the Darim, Daf Kesem Aleph. I still have to finish the Rambam next week, but we'll just do the Rambam and then we'll go back just straight on, based on days 2. Kun and Taharos. Minayin shen shboim l'kayim b'sa mitzvah. Right? The Gemara says, how do you know it's okay to make a shvuah? Or that you should make a shvuah? L'kayim b'sa mitzvah, to affirm your obligation. Shenemar nishbati va'akayma l'shpar mishpatei tzidkacha. Says the Gemara, what do you mean nishbati va'akayma l'shpar? I make a shvua that I will fulfill the things, your chiyuvim, your mitzvos. Says the Gemara, v'alo mishba v'yomid mer sinayu. That's a superfluous shvua. The Gemara says, elo hakamash malan, tashar l'inish l'zruze nafshei. And it's permissible for a person to reinforce or to make himself more excited. That's kind of what you were asking. Right? I don't know if it makes him a mitzvah, more of a mitzvah, because a mitzvah was to begin with. But it's a reinforcement of a chiyuv. That's different than a neutral neder. So the point is that there are, the nazir is a great example, right, that you brought up before. Right? There are indications, are makoros, that the nazir is doing something very b'di'evet or very problematic, and there are makoros that the nazir is an amazing figure, right? So which is it? So you could say that it's one perspective or the other, and that the other makoros are just exceptions. The Rambam clearly understood that the whole question is a very subtle question, and it depends very much on your own personal situation, and that nedarim can be counterproductive when they upset the balance in the system, or when they are kind of masking, other more immediate and more pressing religious obligations that you are ignoring, overcompensation in one way or another, in other words. But at the same time, they can help you tweak your own personal effort, right, to achieve maximal avodas Hashem. So if you look at the Rambam, or just put them all together, right? What you'll see is that the Rambam's language always highlights the motivation and the circumstance. And that in different places, the default is either it's a negative unless it's positive, or in Erech and some of the other places, it's positive unless it's negative. Okay, so I'll just show you that. I'm going to finish in a minute, but I'll finish next time. But let me just quote a couple of Rambams very, very quickly, so you'll see what I mean. What's fascinating is that the Rambam, when he discusses this topic, puts in language which isn't in the Makoros that he's quoting from, and he quotes additional psukim along the way. And this is very typical of the Rambam, both. But again, that, you know, that's the Rambam as a parshan. That's the Rambam looking at all the evidence, you know, and coming to the conclusion, you know, that these are the real factors that determine what the halacha is. So look for, just very quickly, Rambam Hilchos Nedarim Perek Aleph Halacha Chavav, Rambam says, line 28, Omer halai kenidre, Omer hare halai kenidre rishayim, o kenidavos, ksherim, she'ochalacha, oim ochalacha, reza asur afabishal apiyash. Omer kenidre ksherim, lo nizchai beklum. And he adds, she'ein haksherim nodrim, v'derech iser vakas. So this is the Rambam just quoting the language of the Mishnah and the Dar. First of all, the fact that he quotes the language of the Mishnah and the Darim is not questioned, but it's surely noteworthy, because the Rambam's writing a code. The language in the Mishnah, frankly, is very peculiar. If the language in the Mishnah wasn't normative, then if it was just to, you know, kind of shorthand to be explained away, then the Rambam wouldn't quote it in Mishnah Torah, right? So obviously he thinks that language, Ksherim and Rishayim, is relevant. That's number one. On the other side, the Rambam adds three words here which don't appear in that sugya at all. Right? Kenidre Ksherim lo nizchai beklum, she'ein haksherim nodrim, bederech iser vakas. Implying that Nidre Rishayim isn't just anybody who makes his noder, but a person who's noder bederech iser vakas. Later on in Hilchos Erechin, the Lechem Mishnah, you know, makes note of this diuk, but it's right here for us all to see. Bederech iser vakas. If it's not derech iser vakas, then maybe it isn't so bad. And then the next Rambam. This is the first one is Perek Aleph. This is in the end of Hilchos Nedar. Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Chav Gimel. Misha Nadar Nedarim. Kidei lechonin deyosav ulatakein maasav. If you are noder nedarim with the purpose of being konein das and mitakein maasav, you have to understand that lechonin das and mitakein maasav are code words in the Rambam. I mean, they appear all over the place. If you look at the end of Hilchos Macholos Asuros and Hilchos Shchita, and the end of Hilchos Mikvos, and the end of either these exact words or something very like them. Of course, in Hilchos Deos, never mind Mor Nebuchim, Lechonein Das and Letake Masav is what the Rambam says is the goal of Maisa Mitzvos, basically. Right? To refine your behavior, your conduct, your Midos Tovos, you know, and to cultivate an attitude of Avodas Hashem, lechonein deos, the right deos and the right maisin. And then he says, "Hareza zariz mishubach." The zariz mishubach, in my opinion, is also a code word for what? For the Gemara Nedarim that we just read in Daf Ches, which says, right, it's lizeruze, and that's sheva. So what the Rambam is saying is, oh, you know, there may be Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and a Mishnah that says nidra rishayim, but there's also a Gemara that says that Nadarim are Mizaris, and that's a Dvar Shemach. So what, you know, what's the Kasa Vashlishi Amachriya Bineim? The answer is, one is Bederach Yisr Vakas, and the other is Kadei Lechonein Deosav Letakein Masav. Ketzad, Kagon, and this is basically now an extension of Hilchos Deos, we'll see the rest of this next week, Kagon Mishe Zolel, right, V'asar Lev Abasar Shanu Shtayim. Like he has a weakness for meat. He goes crazy about it. He's, you know, he's a glutton. So he should abstain for a couple of years from eating meat. Omisha yashoge biyayin v'asra yayin alatzmo zman meruba. Oh, asra shikrus liol. That's interesting. Meaning, he shouldn't, you know, per se, asr wine on himself forever, but he should asr shikrus forever, even purim. Right? And he should, if he needs to be Oser Yain Alatzmo Zman Meruba. V'chein Mishay wrote of Salmo Nival Lahon, he's like obsessed with money and getting gifts. V'Oser Alatzmo Matanos Anois Anshe Medina Zu. V'chein Mishay Mizgabi Yafio, or he's too concerned with his physical appearance. V'Nadar B'Nazir Kiyotza B'Nadar Melu. These are all ways of tweaking and getting back to the Derech HaMelech. Kulan Derech Avodah LaHashem, which of course is the point, right? This isn't Derech Iser V'Kas. This is the Konein Deyosa V'Latake Mosav. Another way, Masav. Another way of saying Derech Avodah LaHashem. Ubin Adarim Elu V'Keyotza Mem. Omru Chachamim, here where it comes, Nedarim Siag L'Prishas. He too was impressed with the Mishnah and Avos. Just like he was impressed with the Gemara and Nedarim. There are positive Gemaras about Nedarim, not just from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Nidre Rishayim and Bama, which he also quotes. Right? The Ava Pishein Avoda Lo Yarbe Adam B'Nidre Yisr. Well, you don't want to do too much. But Lo Yargil Atzmo Bahem, because it's still called Nidre Rishayim, and you still have our Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Eli Yifrosh Midvarim Sheroi Lifrosh Man Below that. It would be better if you abstained without Nedarim, then you wouldn't get yourself involved in this whole issue, the potential takala. But for the Rambam and for the Ramban and others, the takalos here are not the layachels, they're the takala of messing up the balance or hiding behind chumros yiseros, which look like chumros but are not really chumros, etc. I'm just going to leave you with one thought. I'll finish up the Rambam's next time, but it's already too late. The Ran in the Nedarim, I'm going to try to remember to start with this next time, says, what's a Nedava of a Nazir? Right? Because the Mishnah talks about Neder and Nedava, but it's also talking about Nazir. What's a Nidvas Nazir? So the Ran says, there is no Nidvas Nazir. The difference between Neder and Nedava, maybe, says the Ran, this is the Ran in the Nedarim, on Tesam Beis, is how, what your real motivation is, and how rotsui to the Rabbonu Shalom this is, how begrudging it is. It says, neder hare alai, but you're not paying up. So there's a little bit of reluctance there. Or you have some, ulterior motive, maybe. But in the Dava, like you're all in. There's a greater level of sincerity. Or a greater purity of motive. He says, it's true there's no nedava for Nazir. But what we mean is, are you taking a nedava approach to Nazir? Or now, are you trying to bribe the Rabbonu Shalom or impress people? Or, where does this come from? Does this come from some unhealthy place? Or is this like a pure way of expressing your devotion to the Rabbonu Shalom at a particular point in your life? Or maybe this more ascetic expression is the right one. So I'll try to read it inside next week, not around. And then if you look at the other Rambams, you'll see that they are all with this balance, but shifted a little bit, like Lo Harei Hilchos Nedarim, Harei Hilchos Shvuos, Harei Hilchos Nazir, Harei Hilchos Erchah. The common denominator in all of them is the Rambams, in all cases, sees there could be positive, there could be negative. It depends where you are and what you're trying to do. But which is the kind of default? Is it default, prove to me we should do it, or prove to me we shouldn't do it, for understandable reasons, that there's differences. So I'll just take a couple of minutes next week, and then we'll move on to Kulan al-Tarasakot.